No, I want this to be a bit of a bulwark. I want to build a barrier in my day, in my age. I want the fathers in the room, the fathers that will hear me. I want you to hear me. I want you to be strengthened to understand the value of the post-you man. The value of the post that you man. I view you, and you should view yourself as a warrior for your family. Fighting a battle for your wife and your children. Fighting a battle to create a future. I know we don't have tons of young, newly married men, but we do have some young men, and I want our young men that are not yet married to understand someday when you get married, you're going to be a father, and this is going to be a really important message for every single young man. It's immeasurable, the impact of a father, the power and the responsibility and the impact that a man makes in his home. Our society has tried to, over the last 30 or 40 years, degrade the role of fathers. Every cartoon family pictures the father as a bumbling oaf. Most modern shows don't even depict fathers. They almost never depict a successful father. Our society has determined that old white men are the enemy. And the worst thing that has ever happened to the United States is white men and white fathers. I cannot comprehend that interpretation of history in any stretch of the imagination. I would say, just for caveat's sake, every man has failed. White men, black men, blue men, green men, purple men, yellow men, tall men, short men, fat men, bald men, hairy men. Every man has failed and made a mistake somewhere along life's journey. But I pray and hope that you live long enough to correct the errors, to stand fast for truth, amen, and lead your family in righteousness. There is a huge impact that fathers have in families. Studies show that children from father-absent homes are more likely to experience marital instability. Again, I'll say that. Children from fatherless homes are likely to have an instability in their marital relationship. They have a higher probability of divorce and face challenges in forming healthy relationships. Approximately 85% of the youth in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. Dads, you make an impact. Men, you make an impact in your family. You've got to decide what kind of impact you're going to make. I've said it many times over the years, and maybe I should have said this about my sons as well. I planned very early in my marriage that I would be happily married at the end of my life, that I would be old, fat, bald, and sitting with my wife on the back porch drinking coffee. And I'm about as near to that as I've ever been in my life. Amen. To accomplishing that goal. But that goal was not just for the privilege of my wife being married to me and the privilege of me bragging over a pulpit, because I knew way back then the impact that that would have on my children and my grandchildren. Amen. That if I would stay faithful, if I would stay committed to my wife, and it would impact my family. It would make a difference in their lives. And I believe it makes a difference in my grandkids' lives that I do right in the eyes of God and in the eyes of my wife, that it impacts us. I'm not preaching against someone who's divorced. I'm not preaching against single parents. I feel sad. It hurts me to see young women trying to raise children on their own. I know the struggle, not personally, but I've seen the struggle. And society tells us, you know, if our society really had any sense at all, just by statistics, they would encourage marriage. They would lower taxes for married couples. They would do things in order to support marriage. Back when I was young, they started making decisions to support single motherhood. And what they did was destroy the black family, the middle age or middle class black family. And they started teaching people that you can do a better job by yourself than you can married. And literally, I know I've had lots of experience with people over the years, and people are choosing not to be married in order to get more money from the government. And that policy has literally destroyed the black family in America, and that is one of the policies that has filled the prisons with young black men. Men need fathers. Black men, brown men, yellow men, blue men, green men. You need fathers and families because it impacts generations when a father is connected in a family. Yeah. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71%. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 25 million children live without their biological father. 60% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. There is a desperate need in America for men to stand up and be fathers to children. There is a desperate need. Amen. Young men, amen, listen to me. It matters who you marry, and you better marry someone that you like and that you get along with and that you're friends with so you can be married with them for the rest of your life. It's too important. It is too important for you to marry somebody because they're cute, or because they're sexy, or because you like them. Stop dating people because they're sexy. Men, don't ever turn your head towards a sexy woman. It will lead you, the Bible says, in a path of destruction. And I'm not saying that Christian women can't be sexy. I'm getting some eyeballs from the audience. People are going, hey, what are you saying? But there's a difference between being sexy in the context of your marital relationship and being broadly sexy for every single person that comes along and window shops. Amen. You ought to choose women that are modest in public, that reserve themselves for you, and not show themselves to everybody. That I thought I was in an apostolic church. You combat it. I'm probably only in church today because of men in the church who cared for me. I love my dad. My dad was not perfect. He was very good in many categories. My dad was very good in many categories, and he was below par in a lot of great categories, but he was way above par in a couple of very important categories. But he was always there. My
My dad fought for our country, and he spent years overseas. But he let us know he loved us. I'm telling you, he came home, and I'll be as transparent as I possibly can. My mom and dad fought like cats and dogs. My dad was an alcoholic sometimes, off and on, and would come home drunk, and my mom strove to be a Christian, and she thought if she yelled at him hard enough and long enough, he would quit. That was never the solution for my dad. I don't think anybody's going to quit being an alcoholic because you yell at them. But that seemed to be the tool in our family to use, and it was ineffective. But one day my dad went to church and heard the gospel, and he said, you know what? That's what I want for me. And he got up and asked the preacher, will you baptize me in Jesus' name? And I'll never forget the night. I was married and living here in Indiana years after I'd left home. And my dad called me and told me he got the Holy Ghost that night, speaking in tongues. And I'm telling you what, that was... it was amazing. But when I was young, I didn't have my dad necessarily influencing me in a positive manner, but I did have men in the church who substituted that role, and they encouraged me. They put their arms around me. They hugged me. They prayed with me. Amen. They took me to task. My youth pastor took me to task. Never forget, I was at youth camp, and my youth pastor was there, and he was a fully grown man. He came up to me and tapped on the window in the car that I was sitting in, and he said, hey, you don't belong in this car, and you don't belong with this crowd, and you don't belong doing what I think you're doing. He said, you need to get out of this car, and you need to get away from this crowd. And I'm very, very thankful that a man cared enough for me to tap on the window when I was going astray, amen, and I was on the verge of doing something I shouldn't have been doing, and told me, you need to get out of that car, you need to straighten up, you need to be a man of God. God has called you to be a man of God. So 78% of young men that have mentors have somebody speaking into their life. Men, speaking into their life, saying to them, hey man, you can do this. You can accomplish this. I believe in you. 90% are more likely to be mentors themselves. 130% more likely to hold leadership positions if they're shown how to lead by men. This is not just a social club. We are here to inspire other people. We're here to speak into the lives of young people, of young adults, of elders, to speak into the lives of married couples. Amen. And tell them you can do this. You can pray with your family. You can encourage them. You can lead them. You can accomplish a solid marriage. You can have a happy life in the kingdom of God, happily married for years and years and years. We've been married for some, 43 years here in a month or two, right? In August the 1st, it'll be 43 years. And people are astounded when I tell them that I've been married for 43 years. How do you do that? Well, you just keep loving the same person every day. It's a choice. You choose. This is the person that I'm going to marry. This is the person that I'm going to love. This is the person I'm going to take care of. This is the person I'm going to support. This is the person that I think is beautiful. This is the person that means the most to me in this world. Is that lady that sits right there, and I'm not going to let anybody change that decision. Amen. No matter how beautiful, how sexy, how rich, how whatever it is that would attract you. Amen. I'm not going to change that. I made up my mind. I'm going to go to heaven. Ain't nothing going to change that. My dad was an alcoholic, and I, for a little bit, started drinking in one summer when I was a high school student, friend of mine that was in church said, you know what, come on, let's go run around on a Friday night. He went in and bought a bunch of beers, and we drove around, and we drank a couple of them. And finally, it wasn't very long, I all of a sudden decided, you know what, this is not the life that I want. I see my dad living that way. I see both my brothers living that way. I see him come in and throw up on the bed, literally on my bed, between my legs, holding on to the end of the bed, throwing up because they're so violently ill with alcoholism. And I think, my God, why would anybody choose a life like that when they can have a move of God and pray through at an altar like I get to do, have the Spirit of God move in my life. What a difference when you get a vision. Look at this chart. Children in poverty. Think about this. Children raised in poverty. The red numbers is married couples. The blue numbers is single moms. This chart is a very common chart, and it's only to, I think, 2011, this particular chart. But if you chart society today, the vast majority of single moms live in poverty. Why? Look at our society. It takes most places a two income to have any kind of hope at coming out of poverty. It is very difficult. It's very difficult unless you have a high-paying job for people to accomplish the American dream, own a home and all of that. I'm not saying it's impossible because we have several couples here that are accomplishing it, but it is hard to accomplish the American dream of raising your family, paying all your bills without having two separate incomes. Very common. When I was a child growing up, my mom worked a job. Even though my dad was fighting overseas, my mom always worked a job just to supply. We had five kids in our home. It was very expensive to live, but they did it. And we were a middle-class family all my years growing up. Amen. We were from lower to middle-class family because they worked and they supplied every physical need that we had. Not everything we wanted, but everything we had to have, because it just takes that kind of effort, both sides working together. And if one person has to do everything, they're exhausted, they can't think straight, they're stressed, and even on their best day, according to statistics, they don't ever make it out of poverty. And again, I think that's sad. That our society has convinced people that the best thing you can do when you get a little trouble is run away. Leave your spouse, run away, go do something different, go find somebody better. I had a couple that had been living together for 17 years, and I was trying to talk to them about getting married. And the gentleman said, they were in my office sitting on a couch years ago, and the gentleman said, I don't know that I want to marry her. I'm going to hold off on marrying anybody because I might find someone better than her. She was sitting on the couch and he pointed at her. I might find someone better than her. Well, she'd been with him for 17 years, produced a couple of kids. They were teenagers now. And still he had the mindset. And I couldn't change that mindset. Listen to me. Our society is breeding a mindset into people, and I think you ought to know the Word of God well enough to know that God started the world with a family. He intended for a family to be the foundation of society. Nothing is stronger than a family in society. Nothing is a better bellwether for success in society but a man and a woman who are happily married. That is the best thing you can do for your family. Husbands, love your wives. That's what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives. Children from father absent homes are twice as likely to drop out of school, twice as likely to suffer emotional and behavioral problems. Listen, I'm not condemning anybody for where you're at. I don't mean to do that, and I apologize if you feel like I'm condemning you, and I know we have a broad cross-section of people, but I am telling you, get engaged in your kids. Go to their events. Go to their concerts. Go to their ball games. Go to wherever they're at. You don't like their mom or you don't like their dad? Tough. Go be with your kids. Go find a way to spend time with your kids. Shoot bows and arrows. Shoot guns. Shoot pellets. Shoot something. Amen. Walk, run, lift weights, fish, hunt. Find a way to spend time with your kids. Find a way to spend time with your kids. They need you. Y'all think I'm just ranting today. I'm not trying to rant. I'm trying to remind us, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you can't train a child better than being there. You can't train a child through the internet that you love him. You need to be there, dads. Father engagement. What does father engagement do? I'm sorry, I'm struggling with my words. Father involvement's related to positive child health outcomes. Father involvement, using authoritative parenting, loving with clear boundaries. Loving with clear boundaries and expectations leads to better emotional, academic, social, and behavioral outcomes for children. There is nothing wrong with you saying, we don't act like that. We're not going to act like that in this house. When you're old enough and you're paying your own bills and you're living in your own house, you can choose how you're going to act. But as long as you're living under my roof, this is my rules, and I'm going to decide how this family acts. I'm going to lay down the rules for it, and there's going to be some difficulty, some punishment, because you don't obey the rules. And that is beneficial. I know I'm speaking to some folks, y'all saying, well, I hope my children will listen because my grandkids really need the help. Children who feel a closeness to their fathers are twice as likely as those who do not have, Children who feel a closeness to the father twice as likely as those who do not to enter college or find stable employment after high school. 75% less likely to have a teen birth, 80% less likely to spend time in jail. Fathers play a critical role in child development. It hinders from early infancy. We were with Joshua last night on video chat, and he had his daughter, crawling all over him and trying to talk, and they're trying to teach her words and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of what a father is supposed to be in engagement in their child's life. Father's absence experiences in childhood damage children. Number five, the quality of father-child relationship matters more than the specific number of hours. You have to have a relationship where you spend time and focus on the child. Number six, higher levels of father involvement are correlated with higher levels of sociability, confidence, and self-control in children. Children with involved fathers are less likely to act out in school or engage in risky adolescent behaviors. Don't you wish you engaged in less risky adolescent behaviors? Son, I might need to say that again. I'm not sure some of you heard me, because I know some of your backstories, and you wish, amen, that it impacted you differently than you allowed it. Children with actively involved fathers are 43% more likely to earn A's 33% less likely to repeat a grade than those without engaged fathers. Father engagement reduces the frequency of behavioral problems in boys while decreasing delinquency and economic disadvantage in low-income families. Father engagement reduces psychological problems and rates of depression in young women. The risk of substance abuse, depression, anxiety is significantly higher among children who grew up without a father figure. Amen. God bless dads. God bless dads. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men so to love their wives as their own. See, if you quit loving your wife, it's as if you quit loving yourself. Women are not interchangeable. Let me say it again. Women are not interchangeable. Amen. We don't perfectly agree. We're not a perfect couple. She doesn't like some of the stuff I do. In fact, she tells me that. Would you stop doing that? Would you not put your feet there? Would you not put your clothes there? Would you not put this there? Would you do this? In fact, she reminds me constantly. Do you know, men, does anybody in the room not know you need to mow the grass every week? Does anybody have a wife that reminds them every week, are you going to mow the grass? I do. Every week. Are you going to mow the grass this week? No, I'm going to take this month off. Just not going to mow the grass. But for some reason, there is something deep inside my wife that thinks she has to remind me when I drive by my front yard to get in the driveway. And she must think I don't see the grass growing in the yard as I turn up the driveway. And I'm telling you, it has always been one of the most aggravating things my wife has ever done to me, is asked me, are you going to mow the grass this week? I want to start by saying, are you going to clean the toilets this week? Are you going to make the beds this week? Are you going to fix supper tonight? Now, if you say, well, okay, all right, I understand. But if I did that every week for 40 years, I don't think, I'm not asking her to quit, because she's incapable of quitting. It's a family spirit that she has, that she has to ask her husband if it's going to mow the grass. I'm not trying to change it. I'm not trying to embarrass her. She knows this is true, and it's going to be true for the rest of my life. I'm going to be happily married being asked, are you mowing the grass this week? Huh? I'm not. I ain't got to mow the grass when I get home from church today. I've already told her that. I had to tell her that this morning. I'm going to mow it today. She asked this morning, are you going to mow the grass? Yes, dear, I'm going to mow the grass. It's amazing. You're not the same. You're not the same. You don't like the same things. She buys stuff, hangs it on the wall, and then if I'm not overly excited about it, she questions me on why. And so I'm overly excited now about everything my wife does on the wall, or on the countertop, or in the kitchen, on the table. It's beautiful, dear. You're different. Quite honestly, please don't tell her I said this. Most of the time, I really don't care, because that's what she cares about. And I care about other. I'm not saying it isn't important. And I ain't saying it isn't valuable to her. And I ain't saying she doesn't love it and doesn't work very hard and it doesn't look very nice. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to help some of our young men. before they get married to understand how marriage works. You just care about something different. And she does not care about what I care about at the same level that I care about it. She's learned to put up with me about what I like. And I learned to put up with her about what she likes. And I occasionally sneak ice cream. And she does not like that. But we're happily married. You've got to understand, life is a bowl of choices. And it presents you with all kinds of choices. And you've got to choose the right one. And being happily married is the best choice you can make. It is the, I'm telling you, I've told you some about my mom and dad. The best thing my mom and dad could have ever done is stay married. Continue to love each other in spite of both of their weaknesses and both of their arguments. My mom argued, my dad just sat there. It's kind of the old deal where the guy sits and reads the paper and his wife's nagging at him. That was my mom and dad. She just went after him, and he just sat there. Might be the marriage that, no, I'm just. The idea that our society has about marriage and fatherhood and the value of fatherhood, I'm telling you, is not the right idea. God created marriage. God said, husbands, love your wives like God loves the church, and gave himself for it. I'm not preaching because I'm afraid of your marriage. I'm not preaching because I think you've got problems in your marriage. I am preaching, amen, that your marriage is the best thing that's ever happened to you if you work your way through it. Just keep working your way through it. Just keep believing God. My dad was an alcoholic. He promised my mom he'd quit drinking when they got married. He did for a year or two, and then he kept drinking. And my mom, for all of her mistakes and his mistakes, kept praying for him, and we'd pray for him at church. We were the proverbial family, said, hey, would you pray for Clyde? We want Clyde to get saved. We want to see Clyde saved. We want to see Clyde full of the Holy Ghost. And I heard it my entire life. When I got married, I prayed for my dad. God, would you save my dad? Would you do a work in my dad? Would you help my dad? Would you help my mom? God, would you? Amen. And finally, when we got that call, I'm telling you, it was an absolute lifetime answer to prayer. And I believe God can touch and save any one of your family members. If you'll stay faithful to God and you'll stay committed, amen, God can do the work that God wants to do in their life. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, and I've got to close. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has had his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. So listen, I'm closing. These last, I think it's 6 points. Dads, speak positively to and about your mother. Say good things in front of your children. Kiss her. Dance in the kitchen. Hug her. Embrace her. Tell him she's lovely. Tell her you love her. Everyone who has kids, listen to me. Everyone who hopes to have kids, listen to me. Your words create the future. words create the future. Don't say negative. Don't talk down to your kids. If you ever call your kid stupid or an idiot, I want to see you in my office. Don't call your kids names. You're painting. They may have some challenges in one area. Listen to me, but God always balances out difficulty with blessing. They may not be academic marvels, but they might be emotional champions. They may be athletic. They may be able to get a physical job instead of a mental job. Don't say negative. Don't preach a future over them. Number two, create a vision. 20 years from now, what are your kids going to look back and say? What are they going to say about you? Listen, I hear people talking about their fathers and the abuse that they had to suffer and the difficulty and the anger and the absence. I listen to it almost all the time. What are your kids going to say in 20 years? Create a vision. I've already mentioned it once. I don't want to reiterate, but literally, when I told my wife I wanted to be old, fat, bald, and drinking coffee in rocking chairs on the back porch, I was creating a vision for her, and I was creating parameters for me. If I'm going to accomplish that, there are certain things that I cannot do. Certain ways I can't hurt her. I can't be mean to her. I can't drive her away from me. I can't be demanding and brutal and angry. I set my parameters of who I wanted to be at the end of my marriage. And I've been trying for 42 almost 43 years to live within the parameters I set as a young couple. And I'm telling you, as a parent, you set the parameters of how you're going to raise your kids. And I would advocate for you to use the Word of God to set your parameters and look at from 20 years from now, what are your kids going to say that you thought was most valuable? Number three, be a bridge between your own father and your children. I'll never forget, we were sitting down one evening in Georgia at my dad's house. Isaac was sitting there, and my dad's been bald all of his life since he was in his early 20s. And he bought toupees. So my dad always wore a full toupee. Most people probably didn't know that. My son did not know that. And Isaac and I and my dad were sitting there late one night on his living room couch, and my dad had a football game on, and you know, kind of propped up on feet up on the coffee table, and he leaned forward and reached and grabbed his hair and ripped his hair off of his head and threw it on the coffee table. Isaac was absolutely scared to death. Dad, did you see that? Yeah, when I was young, my dad bought a boat so we could ski down the Chattahoochee River in Columbus. And my dad occasionally would be able to take us out and go skiing. And one day he drove in from the office with a suit on, hooked up to the boat, said, "Come on, boys, I promised I'd take you out to the water." And he took us out wearing wearing his shirt and tie, dress shoes, and he jumped in the boat because he promised us he was going to take us out boating. And we got out, and I was back at the skis, and you know, you rev the engine, you pull yourself up out of the water, and we're going, I mean, as fast as a pretty fast 185 horsepower boat could travel. And all of a sudden, the wind's blowing in his hair. Stands up and waving at everybody as he's going boating down the... It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. From way back at the end of a, 100-foot rope, I could see my dad's hair waving at everybody. I'm glad. I'm glad Isaac knows and Titus knows and Joshua knows, in spite of all my dad's mistakes, I love my dad. I'm very proud of my dad. I'm very thankful that he came to know the Lord. And I'll be real honest, when he was drinking and when he was drunk, I loved him. His behavior didn't make me love him any less, because he was my dad. And the Bible tells us, amen, honor your father and mother, that your days will be long on the earth. Fathers, know your kids. And finally, be known by your children. Let your kids know you. Let your kids know that you're occasionally weak. Proverbs 13 and 24 says, whoever spares the rod hates their child. One who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Amen. And discipline means explaining why. This is not the behavior. This is not who you want to be. Amen. Dads, you serve such an important role at setting up borders and barriers. Stand with me, would you? I know I didn't preach a sermon, but I hope that our young men, amen, maybe that would help more clearly define who you're going to be. Find somebody. Listen to me, young man. Find somebody. And follow. Mirror. If you don't have a dad that's in the church, if you don't have a dad that's in your life, allow someone, amen, to be a mentor to you. Ask them for advice. Ask them for help. And then find someone that you can follow and grow with. Our kids, every young person in this place, needs us. Would you just take just a moment, bow your heads? If I've spoken to a weakness that you have and you feel like I've stepped on your foot, that's not my intent. But it is my intent to call you up, not to condemn you and drive you down, but to call you up and say, look, you have an opportunity here. There's days ahead. Amen. You, regardless of what you choose to do, you impact your children. You just have to choose. Do you want to have a positive impact or a negative impact? And I believe you're here today because you intend to have a positive impact. And I'm just trying to help you to do that. Amen. God is my witness. I'm just trying to help you say, amen, I'm going to be a better man, a better father. My kids are going to have a better future because I'm here and I'm engaged in their lives. Amen. I'm very thankful for you fathers that are here on Father's Day. I didn't mean to be a negative message, but the world is absolutely creating a negative environment for dads. And I want to preach you're a positive environment. Amen. And every action that you have, you can create a positive environment. Your kids can grow up healthy. Amen. God designed it that way. Amen. I want to say I'm thankful for dads. Amen. One more time. Let's pray together that the hand of the Lord would go with us. Amen. Trust, amen, our will, our purposes to God. God, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for our own society that shows us the weakness of our society's choices. I pray, God, that we'll be inspired by the word of God, by the promises of God. Amen. To be men of God in our day, in our age, for our families. I pray that you would help us to love our wives. I pray, God, that you would give us strength, amen, in our marriages. I pray, God, for every single marriage in this room. God, that you would bind us together. Amen. Let us have positive impacts on our family, our community, our job site. Amen. And that we show our love one for another. I pray you bless us as we move forward. In Jesus' great name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and hug a dad. Tell him thank you very much. There's offering plate here. If you'd like to help Sister Smith, amen. I saw some of you reaching for money.